reading from the Holy Gospel according to St. Luke. Well, the crowd was pressing in on Jesus and listening to the word of God. He was standing by the lake of Gennesaret. He saw two boats there alongside the lake. The fishermen had disembarked and were washing their nets. Getting into one of the boats, the one belonging to Simon, he asked him to put out a short distance from the shore. Then he sat down and taught the crowds from the boat. After he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, "Put out into the deep water and lower your nets for a catch." Simon said in reply, "Master, we have worked hard all night and have caught nothing. But at your word, I will put down the nets." When they had done this, they caught a great number of fish, and their nets were tearing. They signaled to their partners in the other boat to come to help them. They came and filled both boats, so that the boats were in danger of sinking. When Simon Peter saw this, he fell at the knees of Jesus and said, "Depart from me, O Lord, for I am a sinful man." For astonishment at the catch of fish they had made seized him and all those with him, and likewise James and John, the sons of Zebedee, who were partners of Simon. Jesus said to Simon, "Do not be afraid. From now on, you will be catching men." When they brought their boats to the shore, they left everything and followed him. The Gospel of the Lord. A decade ago, once we had entered into the third Christian millennium, Pope John Paul II wrote an apostolic exhortation to encourage all of us with a pastoral plan for this 1,000 years that was beginning, giving us, in a sense, marching orders as the Vicar of Christ. And the motto he chose for the church for this entire 1,000-year period comes from today's gospel: Duke and Altum, put out into the deep. Have this confidence, have this trust in the Lord, that even if you have worked hard all night to try to live and spread the faith, even if you seem to have caught very little, when this carpenter from Nazareth tells the fishermen from the Sea of Galilee who knew you caught fish in shallow water at night to put out into the deep water in broad daylight and lower his nets. He did so, and we know how this happened. And Pope John Paul II was telling us as the church, don't so much look at consolidating areas, don't look at the West in which it seems that the church is contracting. Put out anew, put out into the deep with confidence. We catch men, not by our own power, not by our own techniques, not by our own human know-how. We catch men and women by the grace of God and our cooperation. That's what should define our life, how much we put out into the deep. Right, in a speech that I have to give next week in Denver, summarizing John Paul II's teaching for a parish that's having a series of lectures every month on his pontificate, and they asked me to give the introductory lecture, and I entitled it precisely Duke in Altum: Understanding and Imitating the Life and Example of Blessed John Paul II. When you look at his life, it was constantly a life of putting out into the deep boldly at Christ's word. Not confident in his own abilities, confident in the Lord, knowing that with the Lord all things are possible. The successor of St. Peter was specifically trying to tell the entire church to have that same boldness. The reason why, from the beginning of his pontificate, he was able to say, echoing Jesus' words from today's gospel, "Do not be afraid," was precisely because he wasn't afraid, since he had tremendous confidence in the Lord's own words. One area in which we need to put out into the deep more and more is prayer. He said that in his apostolic exhortation for this third Christian millennium, that if we're going to be able to accomplish more in the Lord, we need to be more united with the Lord. And that happens first through prayer, in which we seek his will And even if that will seems way beyond our powers, the Lord himself can make us strong. With him, all things are possible. But the second area that we really need to put out into the deep is overall in our Christian life. He noticed in that apostolic exhortation that so many of us had a shallow prayer life. So many of us had a shallow life in general. We're satisfied with a certain Christian minimalism, that as long as we're not committing mortal sins, as long as we're doing the basics of the faith, we somehow think that that's all that God wants. He wants much more. He wants us to truly be saints, and he has the power to make us saints if only we're not afraid. If only, unlike St. Peter, we don't say, "Depart from me, O Lord, I'm not worthy of this." But instead, "Lord, I am not worthy, but only say the word and I'll become a saint. Only say the word and give me your help, and if I say yes to it, then we can progress." What that holiness looks like on the way is described in a very pregnant sentence by St. Paul in today's first reading. He said, we never cease praying for you, asking that, and here come various phrases, we should hold them up as a mirror of where we're supposed to be. If we're not there today, let's not beat our breasts about it, but we should be there in the future with God's grace. That you will be filled with the knowledge of God's will through all spiritual wisdom and understanding. Filled with the knowledge of God's will. We need to do that through prayer. We need to do that through sacred scripture. We need to do that through listening to the church. We need to do it by evaluating the events of the day and the various things that the Lord's given us. But the Lord wants us to be totally filled with the knowledge of his will. That's what we pray for every time we say, "Thy will be done." And that's a precursor to the second aspect, so that you may walk in a manner worthy of the Lord. It's not enough to know who we should be. It's that we're walking in that way, following Jesus' footsteps, entering more deeply in response to his invitation for us to enter into him. Third, so as to be fully pleasing in every good work, bearing fruit and growing in the knowledge of God. Fully pleasing to God, to give him greatest pleasure. We do that by bearing fruit in every good work as a response to his grace and growing in the knowledge of him. And that knowledge doesn't mean growing merely in facts about him, but growing in that biblical friendship that we have or we're supposed to have with the Lord. Then he starts talking about the help we have for this. Strengthened with every power in accord with his glorious might for all endurance and patience. God wants to strengthen us for this task. We might be weak, but he reminds us of his glorious power. And this power makes us persevere, capable of suffering for the truth, capable of suffering even martyrdom. That the Lord wishes to strengthen us with every power. That's what we pray for whenever we pray for the Holy Spirit to come down, to give us his sevenfold gifts, which is a sevenfold power. Fifth, with joy giving thanks to the Father who has made you fit to share in the inheritance of the holy ones in light. With always joyful thanksgiving to God for the gift of our incredible vocation, recognizing all the blessings he's given us, and that he has made us fit to share in the inheritance of St. Peter, of St. Paul, of St. Anthony, of the Blessed Virgin Mary, of all the great saints. That should make us burst forth with thanksgiving. Then he summarizes by just saying, he has done the greatest transfer ever, delivered us from the power of darkness into the kingdom of his beloved Son, in whom we have the redemption, the forgiveness of our sins. We were snatched just as much as Peter was, from a sinful life and brought into the kingdom where God lives, capable by God's mighty power of living that type of holy life. These expressions in St. Paul's letter to the Colossians are meant to be attributed to each of us. We should be able, or others should be able, as we continue to grow, to be able to look at these attributes and see that we're becoming more and more defined by them. If they seem like a tall order, put out into the deep, trusting in the Lord.